This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good morning. Closing prices for the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, $3.65, up 5 3/4. March, $3.72 1/4, up 5. May, $3.78, up 5. January soybeans, $8.81, up 8. March, $8.83 1/4, up 7 3/4. May, $8.89 1/2, up 7 3/4. December wheat, $4.60, down 5 3/4. March, $4.75 1/2, down 3 1/2. May, $4.84, down 3/4. December oats, $2.48 3/4, up 16. March, $2.32 1/2, down 1/4. December soybean meal, $2.84.60, up 2.20. January, $2.85.30, up 1.50. March, $2.87.50, up 1.80. December soybean oil, $29.08, up 33. January, $29.40, up 32. March, $29.65, up 31. It's time now for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mostly higher on Monday afternoon. Soybeans found support with better exports and questions about the South American crop. Commercial buying added firmness to corn prices on Monday. And just a note, all changes in this report are based on closing bids from Wednesday the 25th. Now in northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly a penny lower at $3.40 to $3.65, while soybean bids were up 6 cents at $8.45 to $8.76. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 1 to 2 at $3.48 to $3.75. Soybean bids were up 6 cents, ranging from $8.66 to $8.91. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids ended mixed in a range of $3.53 to $3.82. Soybean bids were up 6 to 8 cents at $8.71 to $8.86, while wheat bids were mostly 19 cents lower at $3.71, up to $4.10. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 6 cents higher at $8.96 to $9.01, basis steady, ranging from 15 to 20 over the January. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $2.79.30 to $2.99.30 per ton. That's down 20 cents to $1.20 lower, with basis steady to $1 lower, ranging from 6 under to 14 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids up 6 to 7 cents at $3.75 to $3.98, with basis up 7 to 8 cents, ranging from 10 to 33 over December. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 1 to 2 cents lower at $3.62 to $3.74, with basis steady to a penny lower at 3 under to 9 over December. Soybeans ended up 5 to 6 cents at $8.86 to $8.96, with basis steady to a penny lower, ranging from 5 to 15 over the January. And new crop wheat prices on the Monday down 5 to 6 cents at $4.17 to $4.48, with basis steady to a penny lower at 75 under to 44 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids mixed at $3.81 to $3.83. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 6 cents with quotations at $9.10 to $9.11. Soft wheat dropped 19 cents at $4 to $4.01. And the Milo end of the day steady to a penny higher at $3.67 to $3.71. Contract bids to producers for January 16 delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country grain dealer bids to producers in those regions for January corn range from $3.37 up to $3.60. January soybean bids were at $8.51 to $8.85. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from $3.52 to $3.77. January soybean bids were at $8.61 to $8.79. And in the southern part of the state on Monday, January corn bids range from $3.59 up to $3.83. January soybean bids were at $8.70 to $8.87. And wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those bids range from $4.42 up to $4.68. That completes our country grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Closing prices for the Mercantile Exchange. December live cattle, $130.05, down $177. February, $132.35, down $150. April, $132.45, down $167. January feeder cattle, 162.75 down 327. March, 160.42 down 325. April, 161.95 down 317. December lean hogs, 58.42 down 30. February, 56.80 down 87. April, 61.47 down 27. Time now for the Cash Livestock Report.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday the 30th Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 55 cents higher in the range of $47 to $52.75, with a weighted average carcass price of $51.28. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $2 lower with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 20 to 26. 4 to 5 weights, 25 to 28. 5 to 6 weights, 28 to 31. And 6 weights and up, 29 to 32. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading 50 cents higher, with moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings, ranging from $28 to $34.50. Receipts for Illinois hogs today, 13,118 head. And in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 121 to 125, and on a dress basis, the price was not reported, but heifers on a live basis were 123 to 125. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 219 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $72.40, and that was 68 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses, $204.40, that was 31 cents higher, with select carcasses at $195.50, that was $1.74 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 110,000. That compared to 109,000 last week and 110,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 438,000. That compared to 440,000 last week and 431,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
The final Illinois crop report for the year was released yesterday. What conditions kept most farmers out of the field last week as the season drew to a close? Statewide precipitation averaged 1.48 inches, 0.58 inches above normal. The average temperature was 41 degrees, 3.8 degrees above normal. There were 1.9 days suitable for field work for the week ending November 29th. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 2% very short, 8% short, 75% adequate, and 15% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 2% very short, 16% short, 74% adequate, and 8% surplus. Winter wheat condition was rated 1% very poor, 5% poor, 27% fair, 55% good, and 12% excellent. Several ag groups are upset and disagree with the EPA's announcement of the renewable volume obligations for the renewable fuel standard. Yesterday, the Environmental Protection Agency released its final renewable fuel standard renewable volume obligations for 2014 through 2016 that refiners have to meet in blending biofuels with gasoline. The agency increased the blending requirements across the board to a total of 18.1 billion gallons, including 14.5 billion gallons of undifferentiated biofuels, or corn ethanol, and 230 million gallons of cellulosic ethanol. The Renewable Fuels Association has been steadfast in calling on the EPA to allow the volumes contained in the statute to drive marketplace change. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Bob Dineen released the following statement regarding the renewable volume obligations. EPA's decision turns our nation's most successful energy policy on its head. When EPA released its proposed RFS rule in May, the agency claimed it was attempting to get the program back on track. Today's decision, however, fails to do that. It will deepen uncertainty in the marketplace and chill investment in second-generation biofuels. He went on to say that the EPA's decision to lower the 2016 renewable volume obligations below the statutorily imposed level of 15 billion gallons is simply unnecessary. The Illinois Corn Growers Association and the Illinois Farm Bureau are also against the announcement. Illinois Corn President Jeff Jarbo released a statement saying the administration and EPA have struck another blow against agriculture with their final rule on the Renewable Fuel Standard Renewable Volume Obligation numbers. Illinois Farm Bureau President Rich Giebert said in a statement that at a public hearing in June, Illinois Farm Bureau called on EPA to put biofuels growth on a much steeper trajectory, and it appears the agency was listening to us, but only with one ear. Senior economist for the CME Group, Eric Norland, recently conducted a research study concerning weather patterns and the effect that they have on agricultural goods prices. During my interview with Eric, he explained the findings of his study and also the work he's involved with for the CME Group.
So at CME Group, I'm really responsible for following all of our products. And so we have, of course, a very wide range of products that trade on our various exchanges. But the heart of those products is, of course, agricultural goods, which is where the futures industry was born about 150 years ago. But it's expanded to include other items like energy, metals, as well as financial futures on currencies, bonds, and equities. But this particular study, though, really concerns agricultural goods markets, particularly corn, wheat, and soy, and how it responds to El Nino and La Nina, both in terms of price and also in terms of volatility.
Eric went on to explain the difference between El Nino and La Nina weather patterns.
Both El Nino and La Nina concern temperatures across the ocean water in the central and east central Pacific Ocean. And so in an El Nino, the temperatures become exceptionally warm. And so what we're really looking at is the impact of El Ninos when they become, on average, 1 degree Celsius or greater than 1 degree Celsius, warmer than average. La Nina is the opposite. So in a La Nina, the central and east central Pacific Ocean temperatures become cooler than average. And both El Nino and La Nina have big consequences, both for temperature in North and South America, as well as even parts of Asia. And even parts of Eurasia and Africa can be impacted by them, as well as precipitation patterns as well. So it not only impacts temperature, but it also impacts the amount of rainfall and where that rain actually falls.
According to Eric's findings, El Niños tend to be positive for agricultural goods prices.
Basically, El Nino tends to be positive for agricultural goods prices. We've had 12 episodes of El Nino since the late 1950s, so this is the 12th one that we're experiencing now. On average, the previous 11 episodes tended to push most agricultural good prices higher. But there's a lot of variety within those 11 episodes. There were some where the prices went a great deal higher, some of which prices went maybe only a little bit higher, and there were even a few episodes of El Nino in which prices actually declined. But in terms of volatility, the markets tend to be fairly average volatility during periods of El Nino, but it depends on the strength of the El Nino. The strongest episodes of El Nino have tended to correlate with exceptionally high levels of volatility, particularly in corn and soy prices. And that's of note now because the current episode of El Nino, which by our measure began in June, has developed into a very, very strong El Nino that's likely to reach its peak influence on temperatures sometime between this month, November, and perhaps as late as January next year. But that El Nino is likely to remain with us for at least another 6 or 7 months into next year. And as it remains with us, it will have a big impact, or at least potentially a big impact, on the planting season, as well as the growing season during the spring and summer.
His findings for La Niñas were polar opposites of those for El Niños, as La Niñas tend to be negative for prices.
Well, I think the finding that's of the greatest interest is, first of all, that when you have a very, very strong El Niño like we're having now, the strongest previous episodes, like the one in 72 and 73, the one in 1982, and the one in 1997 and 98, very quickly turned into a La Niña within 12 months of having peaked. And so given that we're in a very strong El Niño, now it would not be surprising if perhaps by this time next year or perhaps by very early 2017 if we found ourselves in a La Niña. And La Niña has very, very different implications for agricultural goods. Under an El Niño, as I mentioned, on average, the price of agricultural goods tend to rise. But under a La Niña, the prices on average have tended to fall. But what's exceptional about La Niña isn't just that the prices tend to fall for corn, wheat, and soy, but that the markets tend to be exceptionally volatile. And that's particularly true if there's a strong episode of La Niña, like the ones that followed some of the stronger El Niños over the last 50 years.
Eric says farmers should be paying close attention to the current weather patterns and trends.
If I were a farmer, I would be looking very, very closely at the strength of the current El Niño and what that could potentially mean for the volatility of agricultural goods. One thing that's sort of interesting in the markets right now is that the implied volatility on options, which is essentially the options price, is actually fairly low for corn, wheat, and soy at the moment. So if you have to buy protection, it might not be a bad time to take a look at it and to see if it's right for you. You talk with your financial planner, et cetera. But it would also be following very, very closely over the next 6 months how quickly we move away from an El Niño. So El Niño is almost always peaked between November and January. But I'd be looking at the weather data on the NOAA website, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, to see how quickly temperatures in the central and east central Pacific Ocean begin to fall in the first 6 months of next year. If they're moving very, very rapidly, it's an indication that we could wind up in a La Niña perhaps sometime in, around this time next year. And that could have big implications for volatility. If volatility rises, it will make the cost of options protection much, much greater. And it could also have a big impact on the value of corn, soy, wheat, and other products in the market.
Once again, that was Senior Economist for the CME Group, Eric Norland. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.